The pastor has confidence in me, but he had it misdirected. I don't sing a note, not even off key. But this is Religious Liberty Sabbath, and I trust that these have been passed out. This tells what our religious liberty does for people that have problems with keeping the Sabbath. And this one is a couple of years old now. It takes a long time to go through the system, but I'm proud to announce that they were successful. This man worked for UPS, and from what I have read, it looked like someone deliberately loaded up his truck on Friday, knowing that he couldn't deliver it all before sundown. And when he brought the truck back and said, you know, I can't deliver it, they fired him. So he went to our Religious Liberty headquarters, and they went to bat for him, and they won. But he still lost because they gave him his job back, but they did not give him his back pay. So things are still happening. These companies need to understand that we, as Seventh-day Adventists, take the Sabbath seriously. And some maybe would work, but he didn't. He paid a price, but God has blessed him. And if we could pass them out now, this is for you to... Those that want to subscribe to the Liberty Magazine, it comes out 6 times a year. And I am so glad to announce that last year, you people gave toward this $534. $543, folks. Well, I will say amen if nobody else will. We're a small church, but we believe in supporting religious liberty. We don't know, and as I look around, most of you are retired like I am, but we have friends, we have children, we have new members that come in and are asked or required to work on Sabbath, and when they refuse, Religious Liberty Department goes to bat for them. Out of that $534, there is 126 churches in this conference. And our per capita, or what each person gave, was $5.34 per capita. And I think that's wonderful. And only 13 other churches out of the 126 did better than that. So you're to be commended. And when we pass these bonds out, if you would fill out your name, that you want to have it, if you want to give some to our thought leaders here in Aiken, then please give me a list. Joan has gone to bat and put 6 or 7, or maybe 8, of some people that she knew are some of the major churches in this area need this magazine. Are all of them passed out? Please understand, go ahead and fill it out, but you're not required to pay for it until, is it the last of December? March. Oh, that's a long way. You can save up $6 between now and then, I'm sure. I have tried to find a sermon that would be in the religious liberty category. And believe it or not, I don't believe in certain things, you know, that they just happen. But when I was preparing this sermon 3 weeks ago, I opened my bookcase, and when a bookcase gets filled up with books that are going this way, you know, you put them this way on top of the other books. Well, I opened it up, and believe it or not, this book fell out. And I said, and it didn't have the dust cover on it, and it was just black. So I picked it up, and I said, where did this book come from? Well, when I found the dust cover, I remember that I bought this book about 2 or 3 years ago, and I was very fascinated with it because I don't know this person that wrote the book personally, but I knew him politically. And I'm not trying to play games, but I would like for you to try to figure out who would say this. And I'm going to tell you it wasn't a Seventh-day Adventist. And I would like to read it. The separation between church and state is specified in the law. Now, there are people that say there's no such thing. But this person is a very religious person, and he's known throughout the world. At the same time, of course, in public office, you cannot impose your own religious beliefs on others. And this is what many politicians are trying to do as we speak. This is what they are having pressure put on them to change things that would be contrary to what we believe in our religious beliefs. Since my term as president, now that's a clue. I wasn't going to say that, but it just slipped out. There has been much more public effort to break down what Thomas Jefferson espoused, a wall of separation between church and state. And this is, does anyone say amen? Oh, that was not, I could hardly hear that. Thank you. You want me to read it again? I mean, here is a person that's not a Seventh-day Adventist. In his book, he has Seventh-day Adventist in a favorable light. And I praise the Lord for that. I'm going to give you another clue. He's from Plains, Georgia. And several Seventh-day Adventists that I know, every Sunday when he's there, he has a Sunday school class. And everybody's invited, Muslims, Catholic, even Adventists. And he's very favorable to Adventists. Referring to this premise, 700 Club host, and I won't call his name, said there is no such thing in the Constitution. And we are not going to take it anymore. You may have heard him say that. He repeatedly attacks public schools and calls for their replacement with religious academies. Can you see what is happening? Same author, in 2000, Southern Baptist, now you know he's a Southern Baptist. Well, he might have split with the Southern Baptist, and I respect him for that. The Southern Baptist Convention leaders have espoused a constitutional amendment to authorize mandatory prayer in schools. Now, who would be against prayer in school? But what prayer are they going to use? And that goes back to the separation of church and state. So they want to change it to an academy, so it won't be a state-run school. And they are openly challenging the strict separation of church and state. There's a widespread, careful, planned crusade underway for both sides to merge fundamentalist Christians with the right wing of the Republican Party. This melding of church and state is of deep concern to those who have always relished their separation as one of our moral values. And the name of his book is Our Endangered Values and America's Moral Crisis by, did you figure it out? Who? Well, bless you. You should have said that a lot louder. I just heard a little whisper. Jimmy Carter was the President of the United States. And I'm originally from Georgia, so I knew him when he was in the Senate there. And I appreciate men of his caliber that will see what's happening in our country. That's the end of that. So we will go to the state newspaper in November 23, 2008, during the election process. And this happened also in another state 4 years ago. State newspaper, Catholic brouhaha persists for priests for chastising those who supported Obama. Now, why did he do that? You know, I thought I was going to be up here saying all these things, and everybody already knew it, and I just wasted my time. But you're being very nice not to speak up. But please do if I ask you another question, because I need to know that you're out there. But anyway, because if they supported Obama, who is pro-life, and we can rally around that, on abortion over Republican John McCain, an anti-abortion candidate, should go, listen to this, to confession before accepting Holy Communion. So they consider that a sin. Or otherwise, why would you have to go to confession? Can you see what is happening in its surfaces every 4 years, if not sooner? So we need to be aware of what is going on so we as citizens of this country can write to our senators. But let me ask you, we have written to our senators many times from here, from the people that are here. Did anybody ever get an answer? Wonderful. Wonderful. Lindsey Graham wrote me a very nice letter. Isn't that wonderful? Well, I have to tell you, because he did that, I did vote for him. And even he's not a Democrat, but I voted for him anyway. 15, let me back up. Now, this is from Great Controversy, page 588, and it was written in 1888. If anybody doesn't know who wrote this, raise your hand. You all know it was Ellen White. Through the two great eras, the immortality of the soul and Sunday sacredness, Satan will bring the people under his deceptions, while the former, that is the immortality of the soul, lays the foundation of spiritualism. Note that, because I know you folks, because I've been an Adventist all my life, and I'm sure you thought I knew everything that we taught. But I didn't, and I don't. But I had never heard this, and I wanted to share it with you because I think it's very important. through the two great eras, the immortality of the soul, and Sunday sacredness, Satan will bring the people under his deceptions, while the former, which is immortality of the soul, lays the foundation for spiritualism. Mark that. The latter, Sunday sacredness, creates a bond of sympathy with Rome. The Protestants of the United States will be foremost in stretching their hands across the Gulf to clasp the hand of spiritualism. And I've often pondered why she used this terminology. They will reach over the abyss to clasp hands with the Roman power, and under the influence of this threefold union, this country will follow in the steps of Rome in trampling on the rights of conscience. Now, I don't know how many saw the television when the Pope was here, but he met at the St. Joseph's Parish in Upper Manhattan with 250 very important religious leaders. And before they had the dinner or whatever they were there for, they were invited, if they wanted to come up and shake the hands of the Pope. And my eyes lit up. I said, that's what Ellen White predicted 100 years ago. I was just elated and shocked at the same time. Because out of that 250, 15 went up to shake hands with the Pope when he was here. The Pope did not come down to their level. They had to come up to his level. And between each person that came up, there was a priest there that would say, Your Holiness, you know, here's so-and-so from the other church. Every time he would call him His Holiness, but there's no one on this earth that is holy but Jesus Christ. I'm just going to tell you quickly, and I was really surprised at one, but there were the 15 leaders, and among them were United Methodists. There were more than what I'm going to say. Evangelical Lutherans, Presbyterians, National Baptist Convention, Pentecostal Holiness, National Association of Evangelicals, and here's the last one that I didn't think would do that. It's the Mormons. I want to read another statement by Ellen White, and we discussed her in the Sabbath School lesson, and I think it was very clear what her role was. We're still Bible students. We still believe in the entire Bible. And when you understand the Bible, you understand that God has always had prophets. She never called herself a prophet. She said, I am simply a messenger. And it says, the popular ministry cannot resist spiritualism, and I've already read it, and this is a little bit different. They have nothing wherewith to shield their flocks from its baleful influence. Now, spiritualism, I've always understood, in church school, we would read about King Saul and the witch of Endor. You know, he wanted to bring up Samuel. And it was pretended it was Samuel. God would never allow his servant Samuel to be brought up by a witch. Much of the sad results of spiritualism will rest upon ministers of this age, for they have trampled the truth under their feet, and in its stead have preferred fables, the sermon which Satan preached to Eve. I never remember reading that in all my life. And I grew up as an Adventist from childhood on up to old age. And I'm even older than the old age I'm talking about. But anyway, ye shall not surely die, they have reiterated from the pulpit, and the people receive it as pure Bible truth. It is the foundation of spiritualism. The Word of God nowhere teaches that the soul of man is immortal. Immortality is an attribute of God only. Now, back to what shocked me is Ellen White said, and she called spiritualism is what happened to Eve, and I want to read that. The sermon which Satan preached to Eve upon the immortality of the soul, ye shall not surely die. Isn't this what Satan told Eve? Said, you won't surely die. When you partake of this fruit, your eyes will be open. By using the objective and subjective method. Now, our pastors will know this. I never knew this. And when I saw it, I did a lot of research, and I think I understand what it means. If you will take your Bibles, and if you will turn to the second chapter and the 17th verse, the 16th verse. Genesis. Did I not say it? Well, when I said Eve, I thought maybe, you know, just checking you out. Okay, the second chapter and the 16th verse, it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So where do you see spiritualism in that? What? What does Satan use to deceive Eve? The most beautiful serpent in the garden. And that is spiritualism. Now, here's what God said, and this is what I had heard even before I was a member here about the objective and the subjective gospel. I did not understand it. In studying this, I understand it more, but maybe not complete. In verse 16, it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, and I won't repeat that, but that is the objective. When God says it, it doesn't change. There's no discussion. God just said it, if you eat of the tree, you're going to die. Out of the ground, the Lord had formed every beast of the field and every bird and every air, Adam, to see what would be. And over here again, in the third chapter, in the third verse, it says, but the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God said, now this is what Eve said, God said, you shall not eat it. That's another objective command. Nor shall you touch it unless you die. That is the objective command of God. So when the woman in verse 6, and we're in chapter 3 still, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes. Now this is the tree that they were told not to even go to. And a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of it the fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband, which he ate. So now, here is the subjective. See, she said it right first. God said, we should not eat this tree. If we did, we will die. And Satan says, you're not going to die. In fact, you will be better off. Your eyes will be open, and you will be like God. That is the subjective. And I was just thinking how many times, and I've told you all, Barry and I both were brought up in our schools, but when we would read something, but when we would read, I just have to say me, I'm already in trouble. If I wanted something, I could somehow justify it. The objective truth was, don't do this. But the subjective is that, did it really say that? Did God really say that? Now, Eve was deceived, but Adam wasn't. He sinned with his eyes wide open. But folks, you examine yourself like I have to examine myself, because many times, and I hate to review it, but it's there because I'm sure the Lord wants me to understand that when I wanted something bad enough, I could justify it. Even though I knew that it was wrong. And that's exactly what Eve did. She was no more guilty than Adam. We can't pick on Eve because she was deceived, and Satan used this tactic to deceive her. And folks, he's still using it today. Let me finish with reading this again. By using the objective and subjective method, when God told Adam and Eve, if they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would surely die. Objective signifies relating to the object of mental states, and it's outside of us. The subject that comes into our mind, did God really mean that? Did he want to deprive me from doing this? And once you turn it over and say, gives you a little help, you will finally justify it. But I'm thankful that even I, when I justified it, I knew that it was wrong, and I had to repent. Adam and Eve, if they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good, they would surely die. Objective signifies relating to the object of mental states out somewhere else. That is, to something outside the perceiving mind. Subjective relates to something within the mind. There used to be somebody on the radio or television, I don't remember. You may remember it. He's always said the mind is a terrible thing. And sometimes it is, when we allow Satan to seduce us. Different individuals may receive different subjective impressions from the same objective fact. So we have all of you here. If we read a Bible text, we hope that everyone would agree the same. But what it's saying is, even in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, because we're all individuals, and when we read something or hear a sermon, we all may go out with a different perspective on what was said. So what do we need to do, folks? We need to study the Word. We need to pray. And we need to obey. So how do you read it, folks? That's the question. How do I read it when I want something and I know subjectively that it's not right? But the more I think about it, and the more I desire it, the more I can justify it, and it's wrong. Let us sing for our closing song, page 614, Sound the Battle Cry.